Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
Retard.
You say funny things.
Hello and welcome to the Sofa King podcast, where on this episode, Brad is trapped in a room full of idiots.
But it was his head the whole time.
For a very long time.
For a very long time. We've had recording issues. We lost 20 minutes of recording on our radio episode. Two computers failed to work when we needed them to. And now we're back to the original computer, which lost the content in the first place. And we're recording. So I'm angry.
I think what happened is, because when we recorded the radio episode, you guys all drank a lot of whiskey. I think by osmosis, you got the computers drunk.
Probably. It really feels that way.
I think that's what logical. Happened.
For me, my obsessive compulsiveness is getting me drunk because I can't not drink whiskey during the intro, and there's been a lot of intros.
You can. You can not drink it. But
you've also been bench pressing in between breaks. So
It's for the Phantom Banana.
That's right.
You guys don't know what that means, but it's when you drink espresso and then whiskey and then do bench press and you burp. It tastes like bananas that you never ate.
Is that just you?
It's called Phantom Banana.
I think so. That's a weird combination of things.
I need somebody else to repeat that and see if that happens, but that's probably not going
to
happen.
No. Well, it has to be the same whiskey, the same coffee.
It's a Bullet Dagny's espresso with
heavy
whip.
And then they would have had
to
have sucked the same dick that you sucked right before that.
Minute 47.
Brian, how long are you in town, Brian? We can make this happen. I know where all those ingredients are, including you.
I don't know what you're
They're
talking about.
In, Brian. So you're going to suck them off?
That's what I'm saying. Brian was the other ingredient.
But then it's not a phantom banana. It's a real banana.
It's a real banana.
That's been in your mouth.
Fuck you guys.
And we are. Banana. That fuck you was brought to you by our guest today, Brian Ross.
Hi.
He's here sitting in to give us some discussion of our topics.
Filling in for Jared from Sober, which you've had on like 8 episodes.
You guys are even. He's been on four episodes. You've been on 4 episodes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, actually 4.5 because all that missing content now.
Yeah.
You're like Alec Baldwin and Steve Martin on Saturday Night Live.
I just showed your age, man.
You guys are
young viewers, overwhelming.
Right now, they are the two highest. They've been on the show the most, and there's a tie.
Yeah, I'm like One Direction.
So overwhelming fanfare. Like they really liked Brian last time.
Did they?
So he's got pressure. We had some comments saying that they really liked their guest, and they never heard of you, and they didn't know why you were on the show. But anytime
you put coffee in your butt, it's a good party, right?
Yeah.
Oh, God, we're going back to that?
Yeah.
That was the last one you were on.
No, was it?
I wouldn't put this in my
ass. That was Jason Roscomb.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, coffee? That was Brian.
That was me.
Jason Roscomb was chemtrails.
I was coffee episode, man. Yeah. Coffee and NASA.
That was the past.
I don't remember. I don't remember.
You don't remember the JFK Frappuccino explosion?
No, I do.
Oh, I do now. Yeah. I do. One of the things the fans should know is if you see us on the street and we're walking and you want to come talk to us about one of your favorite episodes.
You're not going
to
know.
Yeah, you'll be talking to us, and we'll have no idea what you're talking about because we do not remember
after we do an episode.
I don't know what that JFK explosion was.
No? No.
Wow, this is so remarkable for being like on the other end of it because I listen to him all the time.
Yeah, we
I do remember the Frappuccino explosion.
Nope.
When JFK got shot in the head, he compared it to the Frappuccino explosion
hitting the girl, the lady in the face.
Nothing.
It'll be on your best of.
I'll go back and listen to it.
For sure.
I've been on MTV Unplugged.
Yeah.
But today, our topic was a listener generated topic. It just so happens that the listener is in this room. But the idea was to discuss the phenomenon of the Silk Road. And we're not talking about the ancient trade route between Asia, Russia, and Europe, because that's.
Is that called the Silk Road?
Something totally different.
That's why I suggested it. Right. Oh, never mind. I'm out.
Never mind. I'm out. Yeah. Good night, Bakersfield.
All right.
But we're talking about the web phenomenon on the dark net called the Silk Road, and I was glad to research it because I knew a little bit. A friend of mine who teaches computers had showed me the Tor network several years ago and kind of showed me how to get in and look around on it and so forth. And so I knew it was out there. And then when all the stories came out about, you know, Silk Road, even a friend of mine just said, yeah, there's this, like years ago, there's this place called Silk Road where you can apparently just get online and order illegal drugs and all this stuff. And so that's what everybody knows about it, is the dark net is where you go to download or to buy illegal drugs and illegal software.
Can you get like regular drugs? Can I get Prilosec? Like, is Prilosec on
there? Because it's not a prescription to you, But there's like child porn rings.
It's horrible. It's like
crazy, yeah.
And it is, I mean, and it is all there. I mean, there's, you buy weapons, you can buy hitmen, you can buy child porn. People who do identity theft and steal your credit card information and all that stuff, they sell those accounts and identities on the dark net. Yep. So it's a legitimate thing, right?
Not
so,
on the Silk Road, though. That's on the dark net.
That's on the dark net.
Silk Road is a product-based.
Silk Road has some like ethics about them, actually.
They have everything except sexual assault on Silk Road.
So here's the thing. So the dark net is, for people who don't know, the dark net is a highly encrypted version of the internet. And the internet is more than just the World Wide Web.
If you think about it like your home network at home, you have private computers on your home network, the people on the internet can't access those computers. Right. This is kind of that thing. You have the entire internet, and then you have a network where it's outside of the internet,
right,
which you can access.
And there's all sorts of parts of the internet that you can't access by opening up a web browser. I mean, there's data out there floating around. There's tons of stuff. The World Wide Web that you use when you open up Firefox or whatever is a very small percentage of what's out there on the construction that is the internet. And the dark web, the dark net, is just another part of the overall internet. So you could use this software that you could use to get onto the dark net to also get on the regular internet and not worry about sort of getting into the dark net. So when you get into the dark net, the Silk Road is like saying, I'm going to Amazon.com.
Right.
Silk Road is just a merchant on the dark net that you would go to. And there are plenty others that I'll mention here or there throughout the episode.
And Silk Road's been open and closed and open and closed.
Well, the Silk Road was shut down, and then a bunch of other people opened up new enterprises and called them Silk Road 2.0, Silk Road 3. They keep
that Silk Road 2.0 was by other admins, though. They were related in some way.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. But the other ones, there were other Atlantis, riffs on Silk.
Yeah.
That there was just like the Armory.
And they were just, we already had a name, but since this current Silk Road went down, we're going to call ourselves Silk Road as well to try to get some customers.
Right.
But the way you get on to the dark net, just to kind of make sure you guys are all on board before we get into some of the details, tends to be through what is called Tor. That's the number one way that people will get onto the dark net. There's other ones. There's one called I2P, which is Invisible Internet Project. There's one called Freenet, RetroShare, a bunch of them. But the biggest one and the most secure one up so far still is Tor. And Tor, T-O-R, stands for The Onion Router. That's what Tor means. And if you go to the Tor website, you even see their symbol is a little onion, is the O. And the reason they call it the Onion Router is because they say that the way that the system works is like peeling off layers of an onion. So every time you go from one click to another, once you've opened your Tor browser, you're getting re-encrypted, you're bouncing to a random server or a random router somewhere, and it becomes really difficult to trace where you're going.
Which literally, like your computer, if you want to use Tor, you can click a box and you can function as a node, meaning that someone's traffic will get routed through your computer to help the network,
right,
which creeps me out a little bit. I don't know if I want the illegal gun trade going through my computer.
It's the same thing as torrenting.
It is totally the same thing as a torrent. Yeah. It's based off peer-to-peer sharing. It's the same thing. Yeah.
And again, so there's nothing inherently illegal about it. You could go to Tor right now and you could use it to check your email on Google. You could use it to go to, it's going to be slow as hell because it's encrypted and it's jumping through a bunch of private routers, but it is going to be secure.
Yeah, no, you can go pheasant hunting with a shotgun from Big Five, or you can rob the 7-Eleven. It's the same thing. It's a tool that has an intent to be used, but it can be used for malicious intent as well.
I was waiting for a Brent analogy.
Yeah, there it is. Bam. I didn't know it was coming. There it is. Have it.
So Tor is there, and what I didn't know when I looked into it is that so the Tor, if you use it, like I said, if you just wanted to send email and you used your regular email account, the email is going to have its own encryption, Tor is going to have its own encryption, and it's going to be harder for a hacker or a government agency or something to see anything that's occurring within there. When you use Tor, they can basically see when you enter the darknet and when you exit the darknet, but they can't see anything that you do in the middle. For the most part, they're getting ways that they can do it. But Tor, which I didn't know, was created by the Naval Research Laboratory in the United States. They were the ones who created Tor, which is now used commercially. So they created it as what they called a third generation onion routing project, which implies there was a first and second generation that they weren't happy yeah. about. So it would give them encrypted private government based communications basically for spies. So if you were in the Navy SEALs, if you were doing any information gathering for the Navy or the Marines, they created this network as a means for them to do highly encrypted private communications over the internet. So if you were in, you know, Istanbul and could get into an internet cafe, once you got into Tor, everything you were doing was going to be highly encrypted and secure so that the government was safe in the knowledge of what you did. All they could find out is you went in that place in Istanbul, but they don't know what data was transmitted. So the last thing I'll say about it that I thought was really interesting was that they still, once they created it, the designers said, well, this is cool, but they're still going to know that this is a network that only we use. So they're right. not going to know what we're sending, but they're going to know every single time we've sent something and where we've sent it from. So their idea, which was quite ingenious, was to make it open source and give it away for free to everyone who was a privacy enthusiast, everyone who did torrenting. They just blew up message boards and websites and said, hey, use this thing, it's highly secure. So instantly there were hundreds of thousands of people using the Tor network instead of a handful of spies. So the spies just got lost in the wash, right?
Yeah. Does that have to do with the cypherpunks? Did you read about that at all? Those guys are cool. There's some 90s like intellectual cryptography group that called themselves the cypherpunks.
Yeah.
They were all about anonymity.
Anonymity.
That's from Nemo. It's a sea anonymity.
Maybe.
C-anonymity. That's a hard word. Yeah.
And the ironic thing is like groups like DARPA and the FBI are now spending millions of dollars to figure out how to decrypt and find traffic that's in Tor. So it's like one side of our government created it.
The monster.
And then the other sides of our government are trying to figure out
that how goes to against hack the whole thing. Like when you tell your kid, I made you, I can take you out of this world. It doesn't work for
I think people kind of underestimate the internet and what's going to happen in the future with it. And I think that's kind of one of the situations with it. They developed it. They're like, oh, we got this genius idea. We'll give everybody it open source. Now they're like, fuck. Like, oh, shit.
The fact of the matter is the Naval Research Center that created it got exactly what they wanted. It's just that now everybody else is, oh, fuck.
Well, yeah. It's kind of, but they did take down the Silk Road. So
they did.
You're like, they took down that.
That was all Tor, though. You know
well, I mean? And that's like, just hard, finding out who runs it. And that's then because. Taking, and then finding them and taking them down.
Well, they found a lot of shit, though.
They they're selling drugs. Yeah, they're like, selling drugs.
Hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, it's weird. There was a Bitcoin stock market crash when that all went down, but that's probably later in this episode.
Well, let's get into it. Let's talk about the Silk Road. So the what did you guys find out about the Silk Road?
Yeah, Brent.
So Silk Road was supposedly founded by Ross Ulbricht, who a young, super intelligent white male. I don't remember where he was from. I know he spent time in Australia and San Francisco, but he like came from Texas, Austin.
He was born here.
He was born in the States.
From Austin or something.
He was born in Texas.
I think he's from Texas. So super smart guy. He ended up getting like a master's degree in physics and engineering. Like there's all these pictures of him standing what looks like, you know, Hadron colliders with bolts and wires coming out everywhere. But for some reason, he got really into like liberal and like Austrian economics and he was too smart.
Libertarian
and Austrian economics, and started to have like this mindset and philosophy about wanting to change the world. And he got too smart for his pants or something, quit his physics and engineering job,
right,
and went home to start like an online bookstore.
Yes.
Which is very odd.
Yeah.
And then like took off.
Something Dave would do.
Yeah, and it was like a rinky-dink website, which is part of the alibi. Like you look at the online bookstore thing and it was just like this
total front.
Really hokey looking, like, you know, and I don't know.
90s webpage, like the it was hosted on Angel Fire.
Yeah.
It wasn't good. GeoCities, yeah. It had ads.
But he took off to Australia to live with his sister for a little while, and then one of his friends from college, who I have to say suspiciously looks like could be a partner in life at some points when you watch some of the videos. There's a movie out there called...
So you're saying he's gay.
Is the nicest way I've ever heard somebody describe a gay couple.
There's a documentary called The Dark Web, and due to like the allegations and accusations and the level of crime that he committed, they won't let him give any interviews. So the only information we really have on him and his past is like collections of photographs and video.
I wonder if they're doing something with him, like they're using him, because he did get sentenced to life in prison.
Oh yeah, he's in forever.
Well, they think that he's so like powerful mob boss. At least the claim is that he could, you know, talk to someone or say some key word, and because of the darknet, put a hit. Like during the trial, there were death threats on the judge that was conducting the trial. There were death threats on the judge.
Yeah, because people were losing money.
Yeah, they gave out
making money.
Hackers unrelated supposedly gave out her social security number, her home address. There were threats, all her private information. There was transcribed
conversations between him and Hitman. Man, though. So
yeah,
supposedly.
Well, if you're basically running one of the largest marketplaces on the dark web, you're probably going to know.
You're probably going to know.
The problem though is when you watch the video interviews with this guy with Ross Ulbricht, it's him in a tutu singing "I'm a Little Teapot." Pictures of him making kissy faces next to his San Francisco business startup partner.
They were going to start a
Jewish art museum or something. There's interviews of him asking him, "Where do you see yourself in 5 years?" He says, "I see myself starting a family. Where do you see yourself in 20 years? I want to have contributed, substantially to the betterment of mankind." All these things about future plans. Meanwhile, while he's supposed to be doing a startup, the Silk Road is in progress, been running and up and going.
Yeah,
you know, so it's really odd. So I don't know. It seems strange to me. Well, so the whole story is the Dread Pirate Roberts thing. So he named himself whoever this is. Yeah, the
whoever started it was named Dread Pirate Roberts, and then the two co-admins that I found out about were named Variety Jones and Smedley.
Yeah. Nice. Well, you know what though? If you were so smart to start the dark web, or not start the dark web, but start Silk Road and make just insane amounts of money, wouldn't you be smart enough with all of the encryption and everything to plant it on somebody else?
You know, I think it was one of those situations where he was in over his head and he just accepted it he accepted it with complete like narcissism, because that's what I think happened. Is that he invented this thing?
It blew up, and he just
it blew up. He didn't know what to do, so he just adapted this personality of like this mob boss, kind of like the whole Black Mass thing. I don't know if you know about that, the Whitey Bulger situation with the FBI agent who was supposed to follow and track him, but ended up getting so far over his head he became a mobster in a sense.
Oh, I know that.
So it's like I think that he was that character, because they have multiple accounts of evidence.
Well, the defense claim, because they could have just...
So you don't think it was a front. You think it was actually him.
No, I think... And that's why there's all these weird videos and shit, because he was just this dorky kid who was really smart and had all these degrees who fell into the world of crime, because he originally probably invented the Silk Road to be just an underground trade unit and maybe boost the value of Bitcoin. But then it was used on such a crazy, like, Mexican mafia, you know, like...
Yeah, it got
Colombian
so crazy,
level
yeah.
of that he just had to adapt that kind of Heisenberg style.
I wonder if he was going to meetings like with these mob guys and with the mafia and stuff. Like,
it's pretty much an online version of Breaking Bad, I think. Yeah, that's what I think happened.
Well, here's when it was in 2015 when the sentencing finally happened and the court case was over. It got the Silk Road started in 2011 and the FBI shut it down in 2013. But when he and you can find it online, he wrote this letter to the judge right before sentencing, trying to appeal for a lighter sentence. And he said, quote, and he's talking about the beginning of why he did this. He said, quote, "I believed at the time that people should have the right to buy and sell whatever they wanted so long as they weren't hurting anyone else. Silk Road was supposed to be about giving people the freedom to make their own choices, pursue their own happiness, however they individually saw fit. What it turned into was in part a convenient way for people to satisfy their drug addictions. I learned from Silk Road that when you give people freedom, you don't know what they'll do with it."
Right.
True.
And then at the end, when he was, you know, pleading, he said, please, please leave a small light at the end of the tunnel, an excuse for me to stay healthy, an excuse to dream of better days ahead, and a chance to redeem myself in the free world before I meet my maker. Because he's basically saying, don't give me life in prison. Give me some,
and that's, you know, that's why I believe it was a Heisenberg situation where he was just this dorky kid who got in over his head and he had to play this role of being this badass mob boss.
The defense claim, though, is also they admittedly openly that he did create the Silk Road, that he went in with intent. Yeah. But the entire thing for Dread Pirate Roberts, to those who don't know, that's from The Princess Bride. And the story behind that is that he's not the original Dread Pirate Roberts. Right. That name was handed to him, and he's been, you know, the guy before him did it for 15 years. And so they keep handing off that to keep that name of power, to keep that image associated with it. But they just play the role, and then they hand it off because...
Kind of like James Bond?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of... It's the internet tough guy thing. Like, when you're behind the keyboard, you could be whoever you want. You know what I mean? People play games.
But in
people,
this case...
You have a persona.
I feel like he might have handed it off, though.
But in this case...
He might have.
It might have been internet tough guy, but people were fucking dying and people were getting
this is the,
drugs.
This is the thing. It says that he was charged with money laundering, computer hackering. computer hacking.
That's very British. Computer hackering.
Hackering. He was charged with hackery.
That's the English Commons version.
Yeah. Get back in your den! conspiracy to traffic narcotics and attempting to have six people killed. They allegedly he paid $730,000 to others to commit murders
through Bitcoin.
Although none of them actually happened.
No one died. That never happened. Too.
But they transcribed his interviews.
Oh, yeah, so it's like a journal that could have been placed there. The defense's claim...
Is it
claim,
a Snowden
it,
thing?
It was
think?
Placed on his computer, you know, via peer-to-peer.
So somebody did it, yeah. So if that's what I'm saying. Was he the end result of the actual real Dread Pirate Roberts
and he's
just outsmarting him.
And he's all, that's what I'm saying. I think he's a really intelligent guy in physics and engineering, but he's not someone, he made a crappy 90s bookstore looking website. He's not making the Silk Road and the infrastructure that goes with it.
But
he
you
has
don't know
to
that
involve
he did that
someone
as
else.
A front, though.
But it's the same story as Snowden, though, in a sense. Like, issue. You know, like he.
So the government did it.
I don't know. Like, I'm just saying, like, with the whole Snowden situation, very intelligent young person, but except for Snowden went directly into, you know, working with the government. I think this gentleman probably would have ended up there himself, but he was so against it because he had those moral and weird views that he, from all those studies he did. So he was like, he wanted to make an open source anonymous marketplace.
Right.
And when you try to do something like that, which is like 4chan is a good example of what happens when you try to do like open source anonymous, you get the bowels of the internet.
Yeah. So
there's part of me that wants to think that yes, he had good intent, but there's a part of me that also thinks that he had to fill those shoes that he
built. And the other thing is too, like you're looking at that bookstore Brent as like, oh, that thing looked like crap.
Yeah.
But he might have created the back end for it where the back end worked well.
Right.
You know what I mean? The code worked good.
I just feel like he got other people involved that could.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure what he did for the, if he didn't know how to do like a user interface very well, he probably did the back end for it, made the infrastructure for Silk Web or Silk Road, and then somebody else, his partners, came in and helped him do the interface and set up all the stuff. And you know what I mean? Like, you have guys who are specifically GUI designers who design interfaces who don't do back end stuff. They just attach to it.
I just feel like the murder allegation stuff, it was a really good tactic, like for court,
probably
for prosecution.
I'm sure.
Like,
yeah,
it's
I'm
clearly
sure.
Like
there was probably something, like a lot of the stuff was probably like the money laundering thing. Like, they probably tacked all that stuff on because they're trying to get him.
The reason he's in prison is that I think their big defense was that, or their big prosecution was, you're too smart to play dumb right now. Like, we know your history and we know what you're capable of as far as intelligence is concerned, and for you to play the whole like moral
route, I want to,
you know, it's like, come on, man, you're smarter than that. Like, we know what you were doing for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
But then his whole defense now is that, oh, it wasn't me. We handed off this personality, which could be true, but I'm sorry, dude, you're going to be the patsy. You fell for it. You invented the infrastructure. Like, you got to
take
the
primary, what did he really do, though? The primary evidence against him is the journal with that stuff. If that journal was falsified, like, they really have nothing. Like, he created a website. You know what I mean? If you make eBay and then some people sell some guns to each other on eBay, shouldn't the people that sold the guns to each other
on
eBay get in trouble?
But they tracked him, and the transcribed interviews of him wanting to set up hits were setups.
And the thing is, I think there's a difference between
From someone on a chat log, though.
I think there's a legal and moral difference between saying I created eBay and someone happened to buy a shotgun on eBay that he went and killed somebody with, therefore what's your name who runs eBay is responsible for it, and what the Silk Road was doing. Because let me read some stats on what was eBay happening with the
eBay
Silk
isn't
Road.
Illegal. Silk Road from the get-go was illegal. Like,
why is it illegal? It's just the stuff that they were selling.
What it was doing.
They were avoiding tax. First off, tax evasion.
Oh, that's
is that illegal?
Yeah. Huge. Yeah. Ask Wesley Snipes if that's illegal. Shit.
Shouldn't be. I mean, that's all who you ask. I think taxes
that's
are
what
bullshit.
They get. What do you think they got Al Capone on?
Yeah, taxes are bullshit anyway, so I don't see what they're doing wrong.
Trend Micro, who makes the hard drives and so forth, they did an analysis.
Antivirus, sorry.
Yeah. They did an analysis of the deep web right before... I thought I had a Trend Micro like SD cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were a hardware company too. They did make SD cards. Yeah, we sold them at Best Buy.
I thought so.
That's not a hard drive though.
Along with projectors. That was true. But,
in your vagina beard, Brent.
But, thanks.
With your meth teeth. Why don't you go home?
Your meth beard?
Thanks.
With your meth beard.
So yeah, Trend
meth
Micro
Pirate Roberts.
Trend Micro did a deep web analysis right when the Silk Road was still up, and they were trying to analyze what was happening with Silk Road. And just FYI, they found that 62% of all the transactions were done in English and only 6% were done in Russian, which I thought was odd. I would have thought a lot more Russians would have been involved. But
well,
anyway,
they probably speak
that's
English.
Racist. Yeah, continue.
Well, they're just, they
I'm just kidding. No, okay, I was messing with you.
Fucking Russians. I love them, but they're hackers.
I'm afraid of them.
And again, this involved Silk Road and other things like Silk Road from what they were doing. They said that, and I have no idea how they accumulated this data because I know it's incredibly difficult to get into the Tor network, but this was the data that they reported. Of the top 15 vendors, and Silk Road was one of them, they said, and they listed the top things that were for sale. Cannabis was 31.6%. Pharmaceutical drugs was 21%. MDMA was about 11%. LSD was 5%. Meth was about 5%. Shrooms, heroin, and seeds were all about 5%. Video games were about 5%. And then illegal accounts were about 5%. So this is the sale analysis. So inherently, aside from the video games, which were probably all hacked and broken anyway, every single thing on that list is illegal.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it said they had 10,000 products and 70% of it were drugs.
Right.
That was
right.
A statistic in 2013.
But then they also found a group that was selling on Silk Road and other vendors that called themselves the Cthulhu Group. And they were a crime group, and you can see their stats. It's very disturbing. They have ranks on low, medium, and high, and then they have different charges for the low version, the medium version, and the high version. So low would mean you're doing it to someone who no one's going to care about, and high would be we're going to do this to a senator because they're going to be high profile. Yeah. So low, medium, or high profile. A simple beating... simple beating was $3,000 on the low end. Bombings, you know, you need to have someone blown up with a bomb.
Car bomb.
They ranged from simple to complex and between low, medium, or high rank, $5,000 to $20,000. Regular rape was $7,000 to $28,000.
Now, is that like vaginal? And
No. Because there's regular rape and there's underage rape.
Oh,
and
God.
Underage
Why
rape
did I ask?
Ranged from 21 to 84,000. Cripple types.
Where do they get 21 to 84? Why wouldn't it be 20 to 85 or something?
I'm not going
like
to ask. Very specific. Yeah, I'm just going to.
Cripple types.
Just I'm going to accept on that one.
They had regular crippling, uglify.
Ooh.
Two hands and paralyzed.
Uglify
you.
They could say
these range from 12 to 20, and then they have murder, which was regular, missing in action, or death in accident, and it ranged from $45,000 to $300,000.
Oh my God!
And this was one group that they
those
looked
sound
at.
Pretty
so,
legit.
So the, this is the type Cthulhu of things group, that were being done.
The Cthulhu group kind of sounds nerdy though, like. I mean, yeah. The card game Cthulhu.
Yeah,
like,
you're
kind of
instantly getting into some Lovecraft. Like,
I don't know,
playing nerds. But that's sort of the menu of the Cthulhu group, and these are the types of people who do offer services on on the dark web. So when we're looking at what he's arrested for, I can't compare this to eBay when these are the services that are being available on the site that he's running. Like, at a certain point, you're fucking responsible for it, right?
Yeah, but we talked about this on the Craigslist episode, where is Craig responsible for prostitution on Craigslist?
Or? I was also under the impression. Like,
absolutely, though. You know why?
Nobody's. I'm talking to Dave.
Sorry.
Oh. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean,
I didn't mean to hackery into your conversation.
Yeah, thanks. But
I'm just saying that, okay, so AOL had this issue in the early 90s when they were, or the mid-90s, early to mid-90s when they were first introduced. AOL had this huge child pornography ring that was super open and obvious that they had child pornography web or chat rooms and shit.
Yeah.
They were doing nothing about it. And I think one person in particular, I heard this on a podcast, he was a comedian and he was also a sexual abuse victim, and he made a big stink about it and even took the guy who was the CEO of AOL to court, and they had the court and the within the trial, the AOL gentleman tried to defend and say the same thing with Craigslist. Yeah. Like, oh, well, we can't monitor that. And then they lost the case and they were like, you need to. And that's what actually began a lot of the sexual predator, the FBI researching that, trying to attach that and bringing it to light. So yes, they are fucking responsible, because with
they're providing the service.
The second that AOL, who's like, we create this platform, they were aware of it. They knew it. They even they admitted it in court.
They were probably child molesters.
And so the court said, what are you going to do about it? And he's like, oh, well, nothing, because we can't control it, so it's not our fault. And they're like, yeah, it is your fault, you better do something about it. They lost that case, and now we have units that go after child predators because of that same situation with the Silk Road. You create this platform, you better do something about it. But the only problem is that it's an illegal platform.
Well, the other thing, once you create it, it's out of your hands. And that's also making the assumption that he's guilty, because once again, the only actual proof of evidence they have is those journal transcripts, which could be text files that some hacker that's framing him back to
protect
himself.
That's what I'm saying. Like, somebody smarter than him or better than him at hacker, he got into his computer and left those things in.
You know what I mean? So, because his whole thing is that Dread Pirate Roberts, he handed it off and walked away. Yeah, he created it, but you don't really know. And the other problem is the method in which they obtained those things is probably some type of Fourth Amendment-like problem where they used hacking.
Yeah.
They warrantlessly raided servers or something the way they got it. They claim that they it from some exploit in a CAPTCHA, but according to cyber forensic experts, that doesn't add up or make any sense at all, that couldn't have happened. And according to certain logs on servers, that definitely didn't happen.
Yeah.
So most likely they manipulated something and used some type of hacking technique, of which they prosecute people for all the time.
From what I read, they actually two different articles I read. One said $750,000, one said $1 million, but that the FBI gave that money to a group in order to obtain these files.
Right.
So they basically paid a computing / hacking group to get into the dark net or to get into his stuff. So, I mean, maybe it was illegal, but then again, maybe it's not illegal once you have a warrant. I mean, if I tried to access your phone records, it would probably be illegal, but if the FBI had a warrant to do it, then it would be
illegal. They didn't have a warrant, though, and they paid some creepy illegal group to hack it, so how can you say that it's in any way trustable or accountable?
It wasn't an illegal group. I think it was a computer security group.
Well, I don't know. There was no warrant, though, because in court, they never said.
Brian has a question. He said, why were they creepy?
Yeah, why were they creepy, though?
Because they're hacking people's stuff.
They were probably within the CIA, though, is the thing.
Hey, they were creepers.
They were probably within Central Intelligence Agency.
Yeah, they're
going to go outsource.
I don't know.
They did outsource. I wish I had it in my notes. They named the actual group that they used. It's like
that's
a computer.
That's so bizarre.
It's a computer consulting firm that they paid to get in.
To me, that almost sounds like a front. Like, we outsourced, but actually, no, we didn't.
So there were other sites. We were talking about Silk Road. There were other sites such as the Farmer's Market.
The Armory.
Atlantis. Project Black Flag, Black Market Reloaded, all these sites subsequently.
The Diabolus Market, renamed to Silk Road 3.0, which is currently still in operation.
Because of the branding.
That one's in operation. All these other ones.
Yeah, because of the branding.
It's the branding. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Silk Road was the Walmart, dude.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But now they're all decentralized now. It's a lot harder to control.
They're mostly decentralized, and there's actually an excellent article in Wired that just came out on January 14th, like to us recording this, it just came out a couple of days ago, and it's called The Silk Road, The Silk Road's Dark Web Dream is Dead. It's from Wired, and they explore why the Silk Road was smashed and why it's so hard to do anything else. And they said that one of the main things is, one of the ways that it works, and I don't know a whole lot about Bitcoin, but the idea here is they have what they call like a three-tier marketplace is how the whole operation works. So if I wanted to buy cannabis and I found some user on the Silk Road selling cannabis, first off, the Silk Road only
had it cannabis.
I'm just using the micro trend data.
Dork.
You know, 31, 61, whatever the heck is. So I want to buy some doobage.
Worse.
Doobage is worse.
Nope.
Why don't you just say dope since you say that so much?
Dope.
Flame.
I'm going to buy some dope because it's dope.
Don't black people look for crack cocaine?
I want to buy some doobage, okay? So I want to buy I want to get some doobies with my doobage.
For your doobage.
So what happens in this sort of three-tiered marketplace is, well, first off, Silk Road only had so many sellers that they allowed.
And it was an auction, right?
At first it was an auction. Yeah. You would auction to buy the rights to sell things. But then once the business got bigger, they just had a flat rate that you paid the Silk Road in order to be able to sell on their site. So what would happen is, I would say, I want to buy my doobage. And you would say, well, that's good because I'm selling doobage.
How much doobage do you want?
How much doobage do I want? I want a pound of doobage. So
that's a lot of doobage.
So what happens is, you tell me it's going to cost, you know, 1,000 bitcoins or whatever. So I pay my 1,000 bitcoins and it goes in a type of escrow. So Silk Road gets the 1,000 bitcoins and sits on it. And they tell the seller, we've got the 1,000 bitcoins. So you then send the doobage to me. Mm-hmm. And once I get it, I tell Silk Road, I got my doobage. And then Silk Road gives. So all three people have to sign off. All three of us have to say, yes, I got it. Yes, I got my weed. Yes, I got my money. Okay, then Silk Road signs off and everybody's happy. And the transaction is complete. Basically,
yeah. It's illegal Amazon. Yeah, because Amazon's the middleman.
It's not illegal. So what they were selling is illegal.
So all three have to sign off. So if I'm selling the weed.
They're selling, yeah.
If I'm selling the weed, I don't get a dime until the person says they got it, and then Silk Road confirms they got it, and then I get mine. So that was the way it worked. So there was a certain level of trust there. But this Wired article talks about the fact that since Silk Road went down, a lot of people are doing what they call rip and run, which is they set up a thing. Everybody starts to buy all this stuff. They've got millions of dollars in Bitcoin.
Close it down.
And then the company itself just vanishes. Yep. So some people have already sent their money. Some people have already sent their weed, whatever. And then whoever ran it just disappears with all the money, and then no one gets what they wanted except for that. So anyway, it's becoming increasingly difficult for that type of marketplace to work under the current strategy.
Yeah.
Nobody trusts it.
Which would make sense. That
and now people,
hits.
Like some of them are doing like Western Union instead of Bitcoin. Some of them are
which
using like
traceable.
These different, right, it is traceable, so it gets a little bit trickier. But that was part of, great article. If you want to read a little bit more, just do a dark web search on Wired, and there's a cool article about how it works and doesn't
I think
work
the marketplace can still exist as long as it's just like an open source and someone is willing to just moderate and admin a site at their own cost, just so that the free like enterprise exists, so that like a transaction of doobage between me and Brad happens between me and Brad through Bitcoin and still has the anonymous factor and still has the dark web Tor secret, and that we just have a rating system of Brad sold me really good weed and I actually paid, and so I have accountability because I have paid transactions and it gets recorded like eBay, and Brad has a good rating on, I bought that from him, he followed through, and all the moderator and admin really has to do is keep the people accountable as far as a rating system and accountability.
That's not gonna happen in an industry of scumbags though. You know what I mean? Like,
it would have, you wouldn't buy from that person.
Bam,
anymore.
We got a business.
No, you wouldn't buy from the person. It did happen. That's the thing.
But it didn't work out. Like, it's
because there's that trust thing of the third party getting money out of it. If I moderate an admin and I don't get money out of it, and I'm doing it purely for the betterment of like society to make this weird free market of like, you can't tell me I'm an adult, I'm going to do drugs and buy drugs regardless. I think that there's a huge benefit to that people don't really think about, that you remove the interaction variable and like the violent behavior. behavior portion of me and Brad meeting in an alley because I got his number from a buddy and he kicks my ass and takes my money, or he mails it and he has to mail it because it's going to affect his sales. He doesn't have to meet me in an alley and worry about me shooting him.
Are you saying that it eliminates the violent possibility because it's all online?
The cops aren't going to roll up on us and like shoot us because we're they think instead of just like arresting us for selling weed, they kill us.
But you're making that you're moralizing that because you're talking as if like the transaction of drugs is okay. Like the whole fact that a drug transaction is taking place between two people is bad enough. Like, let alone the violence comes with that.
Well, that's your opinion.
They bought heroin. No, what I'm saying.
That's like saying that drugs are bad.
That's what. That's the problem. Is no, you're saying drugs are bad. That's your opinion, and that's a social norm that society has placed on something. If you're coming from the point of this guy who is trying to make this free market to say that I'm adult and if I want to buy heroin, I'm gonna buy heroin. I'm gonna find it. Maybe I made it easier, but at least I got it from a regulated source that I know is accountable. And he sold 100 people heroin, and it's good heroin, and no one died, or else there would have been a report of it. I think that
there's not gonna be a report of it. It's all anonymous. You're behind seven. Well, see,
you think these drugs are bad, and
no, I'm not super anti-drug, Brian. I'm just saying, like,
I'm just gonna say, the dude would say that's just like your opinion, man.
I'm just saying, if he mails me brown sugar, or I send him Monopoly money, one of us is gonna say some shit, most likely,
and
right?
That's where the violence comes in, though. That's where
he lives in Florida. I live in California. There's no violence. I'm not driving over to whoop his ass over $20.
But that's why Dread Pirate Roberts had issues with the whole allegations of hits. And if you look at if you research what those hits were about, it was about transactions on high money transactions taking place about drugs or any of that, where he was losing money being the middleman, like Amazon.
Right.
For instance, if I'm gonna sell fucking $10,000 worth of dewage to a Trent, gives me fucking basil. And the person getting the biggest hit on that is not just me, but also fucking Amazon.
Amazon's
going to be like, well, it's a frontier. It's a Wild West frontier, fucking no laws. So it's like, all right, dude, well, if you're going to sell me basil, we're going to fucking hire Craigslist assassins to come fucking kill you.
But there's not that third party involved. It's between me and Brad, and I think it's
But there is. The third party is Silk Road, and the Silk Road's losing money on that transaction.
But my argument I'm talking about right now is that they're saying, Wired saying a Silk Road type thing couldn't exist. I think it could.
No, I think it does.
Because I think
it still does.
It's self-regulating. I think there's no stopping it. And I think in some aspects, other than like the violent or the rape and the weird stuff that happens, is that there is a huge benefit to it. It's going to keep...
Couldn't you buy like Christmas ornaments on there or something? Like,
oh, I'm sure there's all kinds of stuff.
People are going to buy weed, and people are going to get arrested for buying weed, and then they're going to be a $45,000 per person burden on the system annually. Or that dude could just buy some weed over the internet. It came in the mail. It didn't hurt anybody. You got your $40. I got my whatever.
You're disregarding the jobs that like CEOs and cops and all that.
Yeah, that are bullshit made up out of a drug war.
I'm just saying,
fucking,
it's still a job. Like, I'm not saying it's right or wrong.
I just don't like this because you're getting rid of all the drugs of cornered drug dealers. You're getting rid of their jobs.
That's what I'm saying. That's like, great. You're pulling that off the streets.
Yeah, think about the impact on the economy when there's no more corner drug dealers.
That's true.
No.
You got to learn how to.
It's going to raise the class of drug dealers.
Dude, you're
going
to have to be computer savvy. You're killing the hustle. Like, you're stopping the hustle.
That's right.
Nobody's going to have
hustle.
You're
hating on the hustle game.
Imagine how shitty the rap songs will be now, bro. Yeah.
Nobody. Just do jip me on Silk Road.
Yeah. Like, so I totally sent him a bad, strongly worded email.
Exactly.
My Bitcoin's getting low.
It's just like
gotta sell some doobies.
No, I agree with
you.
I see what you're saying, though.
It's an adapt or die enterprise. Like,
you take
out
the physical violent aspect out of crime, and I agree with you. It did do that. However, it's still crime.
Like, there's no more cash stacks.
If you're gonna have a platform to sell doobage, if you have a platform to sell doobage, you have a platform to sell child pornography and violence and fucking hits and everything else.
Yeah, but it's the prohibition argument. That's just gonna happen. Clearly, there's some dudes that rape people for money and kill people for money. I think that if you're running,
there's a guy. I just can't believe somebody gets hired to rape people.
There's a category: underage rape or regular rape.
This world
low,
sucks.
Medium or high.
I'm saying on Brenazon that if I'm running this website and I'm moderating and adminning it, the moment that one of these accounts goes into a category that's supposed to be marijuana, and I see that he said he's going to rape somebody under code word or some shit, he's gone. He's off.
Your thing is, it's supposed to be marijuana. Marijuana is still not going to work out for you. Like, there's DEA is still going to get involved.
I'm just, my whole argument is that this will still exist and continue to exist, and there can still be a trust variable if there's no
monetary gain. You're assuming that the parties are innocent people, though. We're talking like drug cartels were in charge of shipping this shit.
Yeah.
People who kill people and have.
They're going to do it anyway. Well, what I'm saying is, I'd rather. Is there
an easier platform to continue their drug money?
Through the mail with no machine guns from a distance.
It doesn't matter. It's the lesser of two evils. A lower amount of the actual violence takes place in Colombia, you know, where it doesn't matter.
Wouldn't it be better, though, if there wasn't like an armed truck full of machine gun dudes that are cutting.
That's one in a hundred times that ever happens.
If you create the platform, the I'm saying it becomes a way.
They'll still do it because they still have the
they're
people
not
that
gonna
they're
stop
giving
doing it.
To.
So you're saying giving them easier outlets to continue
they're
their
just making more money.
Drug money, yeah, it's fucking...
But let me give you an example. This is making what, more it's, money. It's the same all. Thing. It's why prohibition doesn't work. There are lots of countries that have just legalized everything and it fixes stuff. It does. Right. Yeah, you're going to have some slums where everybody does crank. But let me tell you this. Like, if the cartel from Mexico transports 1,000 pounds of cocaine across the border, okay, and they know that the U.S. government stops 800 pounds, so only 200 pounds gets across. So what do? They don't fucking care. They can make more drugs. They'll ship 10,000 pounds then. That's what happens because they know how much needs to get across, and they have an equation that they know is going to get caught.
How many innocent lives are involved in that, though?
Like, how many if they just mailed that shit?
Here, going with that transaction of the trafficking,
like rats,
are you saying
anyway.
That a bunch of violence takes place through the trafficking as opposed to the fucking production?
If you're involved in drugs and you're getting drugs and you're mixed up with the cartel and you are the cartel, if you die, I don't give a fuck. And
that's what I'm saying.
Like,
Silk Road
like if you legalized heroin, if the government today said, heroin's legal, we're selling it, welcome to your corner market.
I'm not doing heroin. I'm not fucking doing heroin. That's what I'm getting at.
Like you,
the drug war has been going on for 40 years, like for decades. And what is it doing? Has it got any better?
It's
no,
making
it's gotten
the government
worse.
The Silk
money.
Road was international. Yeah. Is my point. Like, I understand that the United States has a really stupid drug war going on, but the Silk Road allowed fucking cartels to have another outlet to continue their shitty policies and how they're fucking
what happened was
and being terrible.
The only reason they shut down Silk Road is because when they shut it down, the U.S. government got millions of dollars for free.
Wait,
that's
how?
What happened. They seized the money.
They confiscated $183 million in bitcoins. Yeah.
Right.
They seized
the bitcoins. That's only like, what was that, like 2,600 bitcoins because it was so fluctuated and then it dropped. So it's not actually millions of dollars because when the seize took place,
well, no, what happened,
the bitcoins immediately lost value.
From what I read, they seized the bitcoins and I have no idea how much they seized when they seized it, but they sold the bitcoins to a startup.
144,000 bitcoins.
And they sold
and then another 144,342.
But look at the diagram of the value of them.
They sold the final tally of bitcoins for $17 million to a company.
Yeah.
So whatever they seized, I don't know how much it was allegedly worth, but they did make $17 million.
Yeah, because it goes like this. It goes from 22,000.
So you're saying the US government
4,000 back up in a day back to 16,000 and then in 2 days back up to 22,000. So it dropped and then went back up to 22,000 in 2 days.
It got more value because it was seized by the US government.
I don't know if it got. I don't know the reason why it got more value.
I have it was $87 million, 144,342 bitcoins.
Yep, and that's one seizure.
All I'm saying is
there's a ton of seizures.
You're not going to stop it.
They seize 26,000.
You can't stop it.
But that's a justification for everything. It's like, well, you can't stop pedophiles, so you might as well just fucking like no. It's still wrong. Is the point that the drug cartels, the people that were rushing the heroin on there, you think those are just fucking dorks?
They're going to do it anyway.
I think
chopping people's heads off illegal.
I think my argument is
going
to
go around and do it.
I'm not. I don't care if it doesn't hurt anybody else. If you want to do heroin, you can do heroin.
Right.
But if you're going to be a pedophile and fuck with some kid, then I care.
Right.
That's putting something on someone else. But you buying heroin and me selling you heroin does nothing but me.
That's
or
just
you.
Like
if you're going to make that life decision that you want to do heroin, you're going to do heroin. But would you rather get a dirty needle and a syringe from some alley?
There's no
bullshit?
Difference. There's no difference than a drunk driver and a person that does heroin and overdoses.
Prohibition
except for the
doesn't
drunk
work,
driver
right?
I feel
goes
like
out
we're
and
having
kills
three different conversations.
People.
Well, you're living in Oregon, like you got
maybe.
My whole point was that like the Silk Road being shut down. Like I understand that I like the idea of a free anonymous fucking marketplace. Like
right.
I like it. Of course, it's exploited immediately by the internet because that's what the internet does. When you
right.
give it when you put anonymous people, that's why you get all these fucking keyboard warriors, right? So. Mm-hmm. it's for my take on it is like when the big cartels, who are the ones that were distributing the heavier drugs, which are obviously bad for people. And I don't. There's no world where I agree that people should freely be able to slam heroin. You know, like marijuana. Fucking who cares?
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, is it's not. They could have went after the drug cartels. They didn't. They went after Silk Road.
They fucked the drug cartels by shutting down Silk Road.
No, they didn't.
It was an outlet of their income.
They still do it.
It was convergence. It was drug cartels.
But they did. I mean, they could have shut down the drug cartel, but they didn't because it makes them money. The only thing it does is they're going through Silk Road, which in turn stops money revenue from the government from stopping drugs running across the border and stuff.
No, it shuts off a revenue. It shuts off a revenue option of using convergence to fucking gain money through anonymously through with bitcoins, which is
between private
individuals. Is less violent, right? Correct. It is less violent and it actually lowers the chance of more drug transaction violence. However, you're still funding the biggest piece of shits in the world who could care less if they kill
somebody's
kid. They're
going to anyway if you didn't shut
down
the cartel.
No, they're not going to anyway.
It was taking.
If you bottleneck their fucking income, they're going to have.
It was taking money from DEA.
Yeah, they're
going
to have to kill people.
It was taking money from the prison system, and it was getting the government and everyone out of the equation.
I am not backing up the government. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying.
No,
you heard it here.
I understand.
Brian loves the government.
Yep. Well, we'll see who doesn't disappear.
I'm a little bit worried. My rants.
You should be worried.
No, I don't think anyone should do heroin, but the problem is
it's an extreme example. I understand.
If you're doing heroin, your child is going to suffer. So indirectly, it is hurting someone else.
I know.
Well, if you're doing heroin and you just play video games all day and whatever, I don't care.
If you smoke 20,000 packs of cigarettes a day, you're hurting other people.
What do you think, Dave?
I know, Dave got quiet.
Yeah, I want to hear your opinion because you're just watching us argue.
Well, I mean, it becomes like this blurred line. I mean, you can't say like, well, we should have this anonymous thing where you can buy weed because you support weed, you know, but you can't buy heroin because it's bad for people.
It's strangely like, constitutional, right?
There's,
where
I
like
mean,
you can't just have one freedom without everything else being free.
As soon as you've got this independent marketplace where you can peddle weed, you're gonna peddle meth and ruin someone's life. You're gonna peddle heroin and get someone addicted. Like, as soon as you've got this package in existence, the whole fucking thing's gonna happen. I mean, there's gonna be, I mean, sure, the moderator who runs, you know, Diabolus, you know, aka Silk Road 3.0 might say no child porn, no murder, just because they want to stay off the radar and not get busted. But there's still going to be people selling the worst fucking drugs, hacked credit cards. Like, it instantly opens up this massive criminal enterprise.
Yes, but those markets exist
wherever
anyway,
you can make, though. Wherever you can make money, whatever you do, if you're into that facet of income, then you're gonna do it. Like if my gift is to be able to go out and get credit cards and just be able to sell them,
that's not
like
a gift.
I need an avenue.
No. It's a fucking shortcut to make money. You know what I mean? Like it's not hard
not
work.
Not necessarily.
I think
it's yeah, just, having a gun and robbing a store is better than 80-hour work week. You know, like
that's not easy to do though.
It's easier
than everyone would be doing that.
I disagree.
I just want to say this, like if you pictured all the drug sales that are currently on the street in every bad neighborhood and all of a sudden you digitize that and then the dumb shits fell off that can't figure out how to do it on the internet anyway, They've got to go do something because no one's going to buy that shit anymore if they know they can buy perfectly good stuff without meeting that dude on the fucking corner. And
you're
it's just
assuming they're dumb shits
house.
Though. You're assuming all the people buying drugs are old people who don't understand.
No, that's
internet.
Not what I'm saying. I'm saying the drug dealers that are just uneducated, just fucking selling shit to people and probably mixing it with who knows what.
That's a
have.
Small percentage drug dealers.
I don't think that's a small percentage of drug dealers.
You know why? Because the Silk Road proved that was a small percentage of drug dealers when fucking 10,000 marketplaces and 70% of it is drugs.
I'm just saying picture it all coming off the street, going digital and showing up to your house. If you hire a prostitute, look at Vegas. You go to a nice place where there's regulated prostitutes and you know that they've been checked for diseases. Or if you go to a dispensary and buy weed. You go to a dispensary and buy weed, right?
Right.
So isn't that better than buying weed from like the dude on the fucking corner that you don't really know that your cousin told you about?
But it's not weed. It's fucking like, it's heroin and
that's
acid
fine,
and
but
fucking.
It's going to happen on that fucking corner in the alley. Would you rather have it show up in a nice clean package?
I agree with
regular?
You there. I didn't say I disagree
okay,
with that.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. So that's better. It's the better of the
situation.
Yeah,
so you agree. Yes. Okay.
No. Not with you. That's what we want to say. Had a completely separate argument.
If tomorrow it all was off the street, if it was all off the street and digital and delivered by some fucking car in a package in a nice little regulated, standardized thing,
showed up. But you're assuming crime is completely ruled by people who are just under an intellectual level of us understanding the internet. You know, like, that's not the case.
No, I'm saying we're raising the stakes that they become.
We are, but they were adapting to it, obviously.
So I got to go to school now to become a drug dealer? That's fucked.
But that's what he was. That's what Dread Pirate Roberts literally was a highly educated mob boss.
What are you getting a major in? Computer studies? What work do you want to go
hackery
into? I want to be a drug dealer.
Hackery.
I'll tell you a story right now.
I have a gift of getting credit card numbers.
Okay, so one of my friends who was in my oh man, I'm not gonna say his name, but he he just graduated.
Brian Ross doesn't have any friends. This is just something.
No friends, man. No friends. People are too candid with me with their information. But so he, told me he just finished his last semester and he graduated. And I asked him like, "Oh, how much debt are you in?" Because that's like fucking everybody's in debt, right? If you go to school. He goes zero.
Or not.
And I'm like, "What?" And he's like, how'd you get a degree without debt?" And he's like, "Oh, this is my second degree." I was like, I already got a degree from the University of Oregon. And I'm like, what'd you do? He's like, I sold drugs. He sold drugs to pay for school. And now he has 2 degrees and he's in the job market, but he just sold ecstasy and pot.
Yeah.
And it paid for all his school. Highly intelligent person. I'm just saying, we live in a different generation now of drug dealers and all that.
I think
it's
you
not
missed
the women, corner alley women, bullshit. I think that's like a stereotype.
Women go and strip to make money to go to school.
Like, well, in Oregon, it's really normal, though. It's acceptable. That's depending on your climate, your environment.
Yeah.
Like, girls there are fucking proud to be strippers because they're actually going to school. They're not on the street slamming heroin. Girls in other cities, I'm not going to name one, but that's their last-ditch effort. That's all they have.
I don't think I got my point across. You're saying what I'm saying. I'm saying that the intelligence...
I'm saying we agree.
The requirement for to be able to facilitate the logistics of a delivery system and rating system and admin and moderation of a site that facilitates the sell of drugs and prostitution or whatever it is would require an intelligence level above the bullshit person that has no morals on the corner that'll sell you some fucking Drano and take your $10. So I'm saying those fucking guys will fall off and disappear because no one's buying that shit. No one's buying shit from them when they can buy clean shit from their fucking app on their phone and some fucking
allegedly
car pulls up.
I've ordered some fucking shea butter from Amazon and I got it and it was dog shit. You know, like
did you buy it again?
I did not.
Did you give him a bad review?
But it had good reviews, so it's all matter. What is the case? Now you're in a marketplace that has less legitimacy.
Because
you're in a marketplace that's completely illegal to be in there, so you're not going to have legitimate products in a less legitimate market.
We did buy some microphones with good reviews that kind of suck off Amazon.
Sorry, we went on a big argument. But this is fine. This is good radio. I'm telling you right now. This is good podcast.
Too bad this isn't radio.
Podcast hackery. That's the name of my podcast.
I just want people to look at the flip side of what the other effect that it has. Everyone's just like, oh, it's child porn and all this stuff. I just think that it's better to regulate it than try to stop it. It's like telling your teenage kid, like, don't have sex or putting condoms in the fucking hall cabinet and be like, look, dude, and call me if you're drunk. I'll pick you up.
That's assuming that they take all of their rebelliousness or all of their drive from you. It's not true. They're like, they're going to decide to do that because of their peers.
I'd rather them have condoms.
Not necessarily.
You know what I mean? I would rather them be comfortable calling me than riding with their drunk friend.
I just think I think it's a shallow view. And I think this is also a shallow view of that illegal marketplace. Like, I do agree that
I'm not discrediting their intelligence. I think you're still understanding.
Why is it illegal?
I'm not discrediting their intelligence.
It's illegal because you're not supposed to fucking have an open source network where you can exchange any currencies from multiple countries for a universal currency without paying any taxes, and you can buy fucking
if you agree
things.
With taxes and laws, and
it doesn't
don't
matter though. But they,
that's
but
what I'm
still
saying.
Americans
I don't agree with it.
You can't live within America without paying taxes,
which I think is bullshit.
So I agree, but I'm just saying that's why it's illegal. I'm explaining to Brad why it's illegal.
No, it's not illegal to have the marketplace. It's just illegal to not pay the taxes.
It's illegal to participate in the exchange.
I'm fine with paying taxes.
If they paid taxes on the exchange, they'd be fine.
Hold on, Brad. What do you? Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm fine with paying taxes for public service.
Dave, what do you think about this?
Our streets and infrastructures. We need firemen
on his side.
We need police officers.
I'm not talking on my side.
I'm okay with those public services taxes. What I'm not okay with is me mowing your lawn for $40 and then having to pay some bullshit to someone else when I mowed your fucking lawn.
That is a completely different discussion, though.
No, that's the tax discussion. That's the tax discussion.
You want to get into taxes? No.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, stay tuned because Sofa King Podcast will be right back.
Taxes.
I'm glad. You know what I feel like?
Taxes.
I feel like I was just whiskey drunk and quiet, and my whiskey wore off, and I'm mad. I'm whiskey mad.
He's angry now.
I love it because the first episode, you were
going to be a rumble.
You were crickets, like, dude.
I was quiet.
Now you're lions.
I am angry.
Now you're a lions.
But no one knows. I don't know. Are we done?
We're not done. I want Dave.
Dave checked out.
What are you looking
at me for? I don't know. Dave actually checked out when he was supposed to check out.
We just became Bill O'Reilly right now, dude. Like all three of us.
I just don't see how any of these forums can exist. I mean, like he said, like the Dread Pirate Roberts, AKA, said in his letter, like, I just wanted a free platform where people could do this stuff and no one was going to get hurt. And it's like, that's complete fucking bullshit.
I just happen to make fucking $60 million.
If you're facilitating one person selling meth to another person selling meth, someone is getting fucking hurt. Yeah. You're getting someone addicted to meth. If you're selling heroin, someone is getting hurt. Like, if you're just selling weed, maybe no one's getting hurt, but that's not ever what this is going to be. When I'm on a fucking Tor network, I cannot be tracked. There's anonymous purchases made out of fucking makeup, out of make-believe currency of bitcoins. It's like it's the scum is gonna rise to the top, period. Yep. Right? I mean, and whether there's taxes, of course there's not taxes on it. It's not fucking legal. And it's like, I know there's a lot of things in the world that should probably be legal that aren't, and it's just a fucking racket that the government keeps racking up. There's a whole lot of shit on that list that should be illegal, and as long as we have those marketplaces, there's going to be a place where people can buy them.
And I have something that'll change your mind on that statement. What's Did you that? Know that the Silk Road is pure vegan?
It is, yeah.
I don't give a shit.
There's no meat in heroin.
There's no meat in heroin. There's no honey in it. I mean, when you kill somebody, it's perfectly
But
fine.
I will say this,
it's
though.
It's clean kill.
About the dark net. We focused a lot on the Silk Road. From what I read, again, I think it was that Microtrends analysis. They said that 3% of the Tor network's use was used for dark net searches and shopping. So for people
only
who
3%.
Are yeah, so yeah. people who are using the Tor network, only 3% are even looking at the dark net. That's not saying 3% are buying fucking weed.
How do they know
it's,
that though?
That's
my question. It's like seven proxies. It's fucking multiple super hidden. Like how do they?
Well,
get
no,
the
they know well, you, that. You, well, no,
you
they
can,
know
just because you don't know where the visitors are coming from, you can monitor the visitors.
Probably. I understand, but how was that information public? Is my question.
It's probably not.
If they can hackerize everything. That statistic right there. Like,
yeah, maybe.
But
I don't know enough about the system to know how it worked, but I think what they're saying is, actually, I take that back. That was from the Tor website. The Tor website claims that 3% go to the dark net and that 97% are people who are just using their browser.
And they would know by addresses entered.
By the way, the darknet, a shelf life of a website on the darknet is like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, and then it's gone forever. It's crazy. Like, that's why I think it's even harder to track a statistic like that because there's...
Well, let me look at this. So I looked at a couple of different, like I was looking at reasons why people should use it. And the first list is from Wikipedia and they said their discussion of why people should use Tor and things like that. First, and they sort of ranked them. They said, first, to protect the privacy and rights of citizens from mass surveillance. Legit.
Which is fine. I agree with that. I mean, even
if you're not doing anything illegal, if I'm just worried about someone reading my email.
Journalism uses it a lot. You don't want your dick pics out there.
I don't want my dick pics out there, so I would use it. To protect
I always encrypt them.
Right.
Yeah.
The key thing is to protect dissidents from political reprisal in third world nations, right? And there was an example, I looked into some of this. There was a guy named Nima Fatemi who was an Iranian activist against the government. And he was taking pictures of government beatings and all these horrible things the government was doing. And he was trying to spread the word, get information to other activists and try to organize some protests and things. But if you did anything like that, you would get beheaded or stoned to death by the government. But as soon as he discovered he could use the Tor network, every single thing that he wanted to share to try to organize organize this stuff. He said that one of the big things that led to the Arab Spring and allowed all these people to do these protests and really overturn corrupt governments was the Tor network.
Wow.
Because they could communicate in a way that the government could not spy on them, and they were able to do really positive things. Even if you were worried about getting hacked and you wanted secure banking, you could use the Tor network to log into Bank of America
and that makes sense.
No one's gonna
be able to interfere with your Wi-Fi or something like that.
If you wanted to go through Tor,
the Tor browser would be the way to go.
I don't know how true that is, though. When you exit, it's a problem. Like, when you read Tor's initial statement, it's not completely anonymous. You have to change the way you browse. So entering the Tor network is one thing, but when you exit and go to Amazon and buy some stuff, you're clearly there. I think it's like you snuck in, but if you yell "I'm here" at the end, it doesn't really work anymore.
Why in the world would you use an anonymous browser to input your personal information, though? Like that,
I don't know what I'm saying. I don't think it matters.
Tor browser, go to Amazon.
I think it's for gathering information.
No. You want to, if you're in a public network where somebody could be hacking or getting your, you know, key tripping you, where you're typing in your information and the person next to you is getting it. And
if you're on Wi-Fi, though,
account.
Yeah, well, that's always a possibility.
To my knowledge of how it works, they can do what they call exit node eavesdropping, which mm-hmm. will tell them basically
everything you did.
I think all it does is tell you the location of where you left the Tor network.
And so if you didn't matter,
anything you did in the middle, I still don't think they can track it. It's all encrypted.
So if you went to Bank of America, put in your information, looked at your account, went away from there, went to somewhere else.
I'm saying what defines in the middle, though, is going to Bank of America and not exiting?
No, because there's what's called Tor services, though.
Tor services are websites hosted within the Tor network that are still anonymous.
Yeah, but when you go to Bank of America, I think that when you're using the browser,
the Tor browser,
it's encrypted. That's
when you're using
the
Tor browser. It's still that onion layer of encryption bouncing off random nodes. Every step is encrypted with crazy encryption algorithms. Everything you do, if you go to Google, if you're on Tor
and you go to Google, it's slow. Like, that thing loads.
It's also another country.
And here's
slow.
The thing.
Yeah, like Germany, Google.
Yeah, because it's encrypting. It's moving around.
Could a hacker or the NSA or DARPA figure out that you went to Bank of America using the Tor network? Probably they could.
But a random
mass surveillance tool isn't going to pick up what you're doing because it's not sophisticated.
Let's not forget that Tor was developed by the military.
A casual hacker who's just
that
randomly...
They can't figure out how to get in now.
Right. A casual hacker who's just looking for low-hanging fruit to snatch up and get into.
Wants credit card information.
They're not going to get into it because you're using the Tor browser. It's kind of like just by using Linux, you're probably not going to run into these issues just because you're more secure, but going into the Tor network is going to make it that much. From what I understand.
I'm going to make a bunch of Pentium 2 machines with 64 gigs of RAM, or 64 megs of RAM, and then host Tor nodes. That'll get them. That'll really slow down the traffic.
That'll take you an hour to get through a search engine.
Although they'll try to enter my node and it'll be poor performance.
There was they did figure out a way. NSA did a thing called Operation Egotistical Giraffe. And it was used to try to find exploits in the Tor network. And basically, they found some exploit that if you're using an out-of-date Firefox browser and then go through Tor through that, they can track everything that you're doing.
So if you are using Tor, make sure you don't use Firefox.
Dude, they're all over you. You're not going to avoid them. It's sharing some setting or something.
Yeah,
it's some weird specific thing. But it's got to be an outdated version of Firefox, and they found they could track people.
They're going to get you. You're telling me the same people that fucking created Dropout Jeep is not going to be able to, like... understand how to uncode their Tor that they created? No.
And Dan Kaufman, who's like a superstar at DARPA. He was a video game producer, and he got hired by DARPA to do just a ton of random digital projects. He also created a thing called Memex, which is used, and it can extract a lot of information about what's happening on Tor network. It can scour the deep web and get hits about weird people and random information. I don't think it can track what you're doing, but it can track what has been done, if that makes any sense. But so DARPA has a tool called Memex, which can get into the dark.
DARPA is so dope, man. I just fucking love DARPA to death. I wish
DARPinians.
Yeah, they are so. They're like the, oh my god, I love them. If you guys haven't heard before, listen to the DARPA episode of the South King podcast. Cool. It's awesome. It's one of my favorite episodes.
So that's what I know about the Silk Road. That's what I know.
I'm done yelling too. So,
and I still don't really understand how Bitcoins work.
You guys understand, man. You just hit a new level here. This is going to be great. The arguing on the...
It's good if we recorded it. Did we get it all?
Yeah, that's me and Brent have argued.
Is it recording?
Oh, fuck.
I'd kill you if that happened.
Now we got it. So I have to pee really bad. And I have to say, the last two times I've went pee, it has been very clear. And if we were in a super bad drought and I needed to drink it, you that would be it. The pee I wanted.
Nice.
So
we started with a dick sucking comment a minute and 17 seconds in, and we're talking about drinking pee. It's like bookends. It's comfortable bookends.
That's how I do it. Got to close the show out strong, boys.
That's right.
Wait a second.
So we want to thank our sponsors.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
I really have to pee. I will pee on you.
This is like the eighth time you peed.
Yeah.
You know what?
Thank you. We have to check your prostate, man.
Well, I've been drinking coffee.
We need to, a couple real quick things. Yeah, for one, if you like us and you haven't given us a review on iTunes, if you could go give us a 5-star review, if it's anything other, just don't bother. we currently do have 17, didn't pay anybody to do it, 5-star reviews on iTunes. And apparently there's
17
some.
17 sounds so sad.
I think it's pretty good.
Thousands of listeners. Like, we literally have thousands of listeners.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it would be cool if you would do that for us, because apparently iTunes has an algorithm, and based off of how many reviews you have, it steps you up in the rankings of recommending it to other people. So it's hugely beneficial if you would just go give us a quick review that says 5 stars, great guys, or whatever it is. So please do that for us. Also, need to thank Digital Creations. We need to thank That Beard Stuff. They're both on Facebook. You can find their stuff. Yeah. We need to thank Yucateco Hot Sauce. And we got a bunch of prizes. I got to come up with something to give some of that away. They gave us a ton of stuff.
You just have to have them promote the show on social network, and you'll send them something.
Well, what we can do is we'll follow the iTunes reviews.
Yeah,
If people go on there and just start dropping reviews on there.
We'll send you stickers or Yucateco.
We'll get a hold of you. And can we get a hold of them off iTunes?
No.
You know what? If you do a review on iTunes, private message us on Facebook, and I will get something for you.
So just
for sure.
Do a whole bunch of shit, and you'll get free hot sauce.
And then the other thing I want to say is I contacted Ruger, the gun manufacturer, and they are going to send us some swag. So what? I don't know if that's a long-term thing, but Ruger got back to me, and they're sending us a box. So
that's awesome.
It may be how big the box is.
It might be a t-shirt and keychains or something, but guns. I thank them so much for doing that. That's huge. That's a huge company that's been around forever, and we're going to give that to somebody. So thank you, Ruger, right off the bat. I'm also waiting to hear from Chico Stick if Atkinson's candy. If Atkinson's, like, if you're Brent's listening,
like, dude, I got a hold of Chico Stick.
What is your demographic?
I really don't.
I also, if you're listening, I'll give a shout out to Pendleton Whiskey with no return. I've contacted Pendleton Whiskey. They have not got back to me, but I love you anyway. It's fine.
Pendleton
it doesn't
shirts.
Matter. Yes. I have also contacted Pendleton Woolen Mills in Oregon, and they did get back to me.
These
actually.
These are all things that Brent
likes. So I did pick a lot of things I like, and Pendleton, I'm waiting for a response from Pendleton, but they did get back to me. I forwarded an email to a marketing
Asics,
person.
Because those are my favorite shoes.
I will. That's next, fool.
Are we just going to talk about things we like? Because I'm Cinemassacre Productions. You guys are awesome. Keep making angry video game nerds.
I also contacted
Bethesda. You can give me free DLC for Fallout 4.
Yeah. Tecate beer. So.
Dave's favorite game pick of the year is Grand Theft Auto 5. No?
No.
I'm a fan of the Del Inferno hot sauce.
He's thinking. Hey, Dave's really thinking.
That's a conflict of interest.
Dave's really thinking on his game of the year.
Actually, yeah.
Honestly, what? That Del Inferno stuff tastes
it actually
like
does suck. So
hot fruit. That stuff's gross.
What are they talking about?
Hold on a second. I have a Yucateca hot story, fruit, and I'm sure we need to tell this.
Okay, tell
so,
it.
Okay, so I bought the Yucateca.
Yucateco.
I'm sorry, Yucateco. But I bought it about a year ago at, I actually found it at Walmart.
The Reserve?
And it was the black one. It was the black habanero.
That's the Reserve.
I love it, dude. I love the smokiness. Like, every day I'd put it on my eggs and I would serve them to people, and they were like, oh, I just love this. You make stuff so much better. And it was really because I kept using that black Yucateca. Like, and it was my secret. Like, I wouldn't tell them. They're like, dude, Brian's a fucking great cook, man. Like, I eat his eggs, and they're like, I think he smokes them. And it was actually the Yucateca black habanero hot sauce. So when they found out they were your sponsor, I was like, they're fucking awesome.
Now, that one's good on steak. That's a good one for meat, like if you marinate to use the black
reserve. That's good, man.
I go through a bottle of the Triple X Hot a week now.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I kill
that's
it
good.
With that.
It's good stuff.
I'm sad the next day, but I'm building up an immunity.
I'm so happy they care, you know? Like, that's cool.
Yeah. No, and they're really cool, too. They do send us, like...
Those guys are way awesome. Cool. Yeah, thank you so awesome. Much, Yucateco. Yeah. And if you guys haven't tried that, buy it. If you go give us a review
and
let us know, I will try to send something to you. I got a bunch of tiny little bottles of Yucateco that I can send. They give us some cool little mailable bottles. So
yeah,
I think I got 20 of those.
Yeah, so just go out there.
If you get more reviews than that, I'm sure they're happy to send more. So.
If you just if the listeners just spread the love, man, they'll get something.
You got know, some, I got some medium sized flip flops. If you got medium sized feet,
first time callers. That's right.
So yeah, it's good.
So that's the show for today. Deep anus is what we covered.
We argued. It was awesome.
Yeah.
We got all Fox News up in here.
We did.
Are you the blonde chick?
Always.
All right.
Yeah. Can I be the racist?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Black people are all racist. So have a good day and don't be a retard.
They call me crazy, cause I know draws the pretty pictures they see. He trying to chase me, this is the last straw. I ain't no hayseed, won't take his mask off cause he don't wanna face me. They want me dead cause I know the truth. I can show and prove who put computers in the voting booth. I know they do. Keep a stolen egg from a golden goose and passes out cracking crystal meth to the local youth. I got a folder full of intel that told me how he kicks whales, pulls pigtails and hit grails, runs up in the get whales, and snatches all the piss pails, and puts them in a vaporizer just to make the chemtrails. What a unclean asshole. I'ma sanitize the unseen hand for show. He 30 years deep in the killing biz, but I ain't worried about to tell you who the villain is. Y'all know the answer, so all the free thinkers can come. Throw your hands up, ain't no coincidences, it isn't random. I'm blaming everything on Cobra Commander.
How dare you!
Y'all know the answer, so all the free thinkers can come. Throw your hands up, ain't no coincidences, it isn't random. I'm blaming everything on Cobra Commander.
Submit to me! Go to hell! Damn, shit I ever did was let a nigga break my hair in jail. I ain't frontin', no, I ain't lying. For a roll up, half my shit is exact designs. Laid in the bunk, sorry for my sap. On my own, up in that bitch with no help. I'm never on the phone, fuck that TV. I don't play cards, my nigga don't play me. Put a ball in, and a bag of chips. Crush the chips up, put the egg in, then I shook. Don't know how to play chess, I don't read books. I grab you by your neck. But in my mantle, I hear them instruments. So I'm in the bump, right with that little ass pencil. And I ain't got no answers. So motherfucker, recommend.
Know the answer, so all the free thinkers can come. Throw your hands up. Ain't no coincidences, it isn't random. I'm blaming everything on Cobra Commander. Know the answer, so all the free thinkers can come. Throw your hands up. Ain't no coincidences, it isn't random. I'm blaming everything on Cobra Commander.
Go ahead, make me the scapegoat.